We are going to begin a series tonight on the Christian's relationship to others. Now, you're going to love this. I had a decision to make, and the decision is that I had an introduction to the series. There were some things I wanted to say to introduce the series. And this introduction was going to take 15 or 20 minutes. And then I thought, well, I'll do the introduction, and then I will do the first lesson, which would be like another 30 minutes. And I thought, that'd be like 50 minutes. So I would like kill the series in the first lesson for time-wise. It's okay to say amen. It isn't going to matter, but it's okay to say it. So what I've decided is to split this. So all you're going to get tonight is the introduction. I'm going to introduce the series. And then we will start with the actual first thought of it, or first lesson of it, next Sunday. Let me ask you to turn to the book of Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans can be perfectly divided into two parts. In chapters 1 through 11, the book is deeply theological. In chapters 12 through 16, the book is highly practical. The book of Romans, chapters 1 through 11, is doctrine. In chapters 12 through 16 is duty. In chapters 1 through 11, we find principles. In chapters 12 through 16, we find how to practice those principles. Romans chapter 1 through 11, the theme of that part of the book is found in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 17, where the Apostle Paul said that the just shall live by faith. And in those first 11 chapters, Paul sets out and explains justification by faith. That it is in Christ, and this is the process, and he explains to us how God brought all of this plan forward. So the first 11 chapters, the theme is the just shall live by faith from chapter 1 and verse 17. But then in chapters 12 through 16, Paul talks about the living by faith. So in the first 11 chapters, here was the plan that brought about justification by faith. But now in chapters 12 through 16, here is how to live out that faith on an everyday basis. Do you understand how the book is divided? Now, the structure of the book of Romans is typical of some of Paul's other letters. For instance, the book of Ephesians has 6 chapters. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, we find doctrine. In chapters 4, 5, and 6, we find duty. When Paul begins the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul says that all spiritual blessings are found in Christ Jesus. So Paul then from that point begins to enumerate on those spiritual blessings. He does that through chapter 3. Then in the book of Ephesians, beginning in chapter 4, Paul then tells us, now here is how to live out those spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. He also does the book of Colossians the same way. The book of Colossians is 4 chapters. In chapters 1 and 2, Paul talks about the preeminence of Jesus Christ. He is fighting a heresy in the book of Colossians. He's fighting a false doctrine. So in the first 2 chapters, he says that Jesus Christ is superior, that Jesus Christ is preeminent. Then in the last 2 chapters of Colossians, Paul begins to explain how it is we can live every day showing that Jesus Christ is the preeminent one. So are we good so far? If we're not, say something. We're good. Now listen carefully. Without the doctrinal, there is no practical. Doctrine is never, ever addressed in the scripture simply so that you and I can gain a head full of knowledge to beat up our denominational friends with. Doctrine is never, ever stated in the Bible simply so we can have a head full of knowledge. Doctrine is explained in the scripture so that you and I, by studying it and by understanding it, can then take it and translate it into the action of our everyday lives. Now, this is the big part of the introduction. I cannot overemphasize the connection between Christian living and Christian doctrine. There is no right living without right teaching. There isn't. Because without the doctrine, we have no direction for the living. So that cannot be overstated. So in chapters 1 through 11, Paul sets forth the doctrine. And in Romans 12 through 16, he then sets forth the duty. Now, I want you to look with me in Romans, the 12th chapter. And tonight, all we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the transitional verse in the book of Romans. For 11 chapters, Paul has been saying, this is what God has done for you. For 11 chapters, Paul has been saying, this is what God has made available to you. Then when we come to chapter 12, and verse 1, there is this transition verse that says, now, based on what God has done for you, here is how you are to respond to this. Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read verse 1, and then we're going to go back and look at the verse for just a moment. Romans 12 and verse 1. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now notice what he says in the verse. He says, I appeal to you. Your translation may say, urge you. Your translation may be, beseech you. Notice Paul does not say, I command you. Paul doesn't flash his apostle card here and throw it down there and say, this is it. What this is him pleading with them. When Paul says that I appeal to you, or I urge you, or I beseech you, what Paul is saying to them, he is saying, listen, I am pleading with you to give consideration to what I'm about to say. This is a plea from one brother to other brethren. I'm pleading for you to give consideration to this. Look what he says. I appeal to you, therefore. That one word, therefore, in chapter 12 and verse 1. That one word serves as a bridge that brings the entire book of Romans together. When he says, therefore, Paul is pointing back to chapters 1 through 11, what God has done. Paul, with that one word, is reaching forth to chapters 12 through 16, the duty, what you and I ought to do, and Paul is bringing what he has said and what he is about to say, and he brings them together with that one word when he says, therefore. Therefore. Brethren, listen to me. Recognizing what God has done for us through Jesus at the cross. Recognizing what God has done for us ought to serve as our motivation to now do what He wants us to do. And that's what He's saying. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. Paul never lost sight of who he was talking to. This passage here is for you if you sit here tonight as a Christian. Paul is saying tonight to you and I am appealing to you to consider this, that based on what God has done in the area and the work of justification through Christ, here's some things. Now look what he says. He says, by the mercies of God. Brethren, let me tell you tonight that the mercies of God are too numerous for me to name. Jesus Christ, the gospel, grace, the church, and prayer are only a handful of expressions of the mercies of God. Look what he says. To present your bodies. Now listen. When he says to present your bodies, he's talking about the whole body. The whole body. God expects every single part of us. God expects everything that is us, that makes us. He expects all of it to respond to what it is he has done for us that's been explained in these first 11 chapters. Now let me tell you something else about your body. The physical body is important. Important to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple in which the Holy Spirit is within you? Your body is a temple in which deity dwells. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? We are to present our bodies, our whole bodies, we are to present them to God. Every part of us is to respond to what it is that God has done. Now watch how the response is. He says, as living sacrifices. Now, the Jews, under the old law of Moses, sacrificed dead animals. But as Christians, we sacrifice our bodies while we are alive. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In Galatians 6 and in verse 14, Paul says, I should not boast, that is, I should not brag or carry on about anything concerning myself except Jesus Christ and who in him crucified, for whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Our bodies as they live are sacrifices to God. Now look at the rest of that verse. Look at the rest of that verse. He says, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Several months ago, I'd finished preaching a sermon, not here. And this lady comes to me and she says, I'm having a very difficult time in living the Christian life. She said, I am struggling, I am frustrated, and I don't know what to do. I had no idea who she was. So I said, well, if I can ask, what have you done to solve this problem? And she looked at me and she says, well, she says, I have gotten everything from God that I can get. Did you hear what she said? I have gotten from God everything that I can get. So I said to her, you may have just put your finger on the problem. Spiritual victory does not come only because we get everything from God we can, but spiritual victory comes when after we have received from God what we can, that we then give God everything we can. Now listen to this. Listen to it. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Brethren, those two verses have nothing in the world to do with what I can receive from God. Those two verses are about what I now give to God because of what he's given me already. And a lot of us are missing this. We're missing this because we haven't studied, or we don't know, or we don't understand what God has done for us. What God has done to make the church a reality. What God has done to make it possible for you and I to come here. What God has done to make it possible for you and I to even worship Him. But when we understand what God has done, when we understand this justification by faith, when I understand how God feels about me and how God wants me to live, then I'm ready to go on and to do what God wants me to do. So, Lord willing, starting next Sunday night, here's where we're going to start. Take a look at it. In Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Verses 9 through 13 talk about the Christian's relationship, but these verses are talking about our relationship with each other. So there are going to be some lessons where we'll cover one verse. There'll be other lessons where we may only cover a part of one verse. But we need to digest this. One of the things that make you and I as Christians unique is how we treat each other. That's what makes us unique to everybody in the world, how we treat each other. Now, in this passage, he also talks about how to treat God and how to treat enemies, and we may end up spending a long time in this chapter and dealing with all that, but we're going to start in verses 9 through 13, where he talks about the Christian's relationship to other Christians. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, we're going to give you this opportunity to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hearing the word of God, having heard it, believed it, being willing to turn from your sin to change your life, to confess Jesus to be the Son of God, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. But if you sit here tonight as a child of God, but your life has not been lived as one who is a Christian, we extend to you this invitation and this opportunity. If you need to come, you can do that right